We're welcoming into our very presence the Lord Jesus. Do we really need to open the door and allow him in? Well, we studied Church of Laodicea. They came to have worship, and Jesus is on the outside knocking on the door, desiring to come in. So I want to ask you today, if you would bow with me in prayer, but I'm going to give you a prayer challenge before we do. We're not going to just pray a normal prayer. We're going to ask, Lord, if I'm not experiencing your presence, help me to clear up anything that's in the way. Help me to get those ideas or thoughts or negative anger, whatever it may be that I'm struggling with, and help me just set it aside. Help me to focus on you and see you today and not all these other things. Let's ask the Lord to remove all those outside distractions and let's get serious about God's Word today. Are you willing to do that with me? Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we sing of your presence. And as your children, we know that your Spirit is within us. But Lord, we seek a fullness of your Spirit in guiding and directing. Lord, we want to avoid the difficulties of mistakes and poor choices and straying away. But Lord, unfortunately, sometimes we just want those things to avoid the pain, when in reality, we should be longing for your very presence because we love you, because we hunger for you, and because we're desperately in need for you. And Lord, that is true. As your people, we are nothing without you. We are powerless without you. And God, we're tired of seeing proclaimed, self-proclaimed Christians living without power. We don't want to be that. We want to be a church that brings you honor and glory, but more than that, that we follow and obey you. Lord, may we feel and know your presence today, not because we're worthy of it in any way, but Lord, you just said simply, if we call upon you, then you'll respond to the desires of our heart. And Lord, much as all of us can relate to that, maybe we're just struggling with the own desires of our own hearts today. Maybe our minds are just not where they need to be. Maybe our hearts have just been so beat up and kicked around that we're even having trouble of just desiring the right things. Lord, we just pray that you'll heal us today. Heal the hurts. Heal the confusion. Bring clarity and understanding where we need your wisdom. Help us to know you. Help us to see our need for you. And then just give us the humility to come and ask, surrendering our lives to you and for you. Lord, as we dig into your word, we ask that you'll just open our hearts and our minds. But Lord, give us the power of your Spirit to be faithful and exercise our faith. Not just talking about it, not dreaming about it, but exercising as we trust and we rely upon you. Lord, love us today. Comfort us today. Use us for your name and for your pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Now some of you are sitting here thinking, it takes this pastor two messages to get through two verses? Yes. Welcome to Lindsay Lane. As you get to know me, last week we covered the very first point is, how is it that we have victory? Let me read the text, and then I'll review point one, and we're going to dig in right into point two and three, okay? 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So last week, as we begin to set the stage, I want to remind you once again, sometimes we may feel as though it's hard to picture ourselves as being an overcomer when we're feeling the weight of the world upon us, and it seems as though it's going to break us at any moment. Amen? Sometimes we get underneath the load of everything. We get under the cares and the difficulties, and we think, I can't even imagine myself as being labeled as an overcomer. And so as we explore the definition of the overcomer, what is that overcomer? He uses the word nike. But when we see that, what he says is that we are labeled as that because we share in the victory that Christ has purchased for us by shedding his blood upon the cross, being the propitiation for our sins, being the substitute for our death that we deserved, but yet Jesus took our place and taking that sin upon himself, not because he was a sinner, but yet he was the sacrificial sacrifice to die and bear our sin, and in doing so, claim victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so now he stands victorious over all of these things, and now has become the victor that we share in that victory with him. So he says, the very first thing he says, for whatever is born of God. The direct translation of that is begotten of God. So therefore the victory doesn't come from us. Folks, I really think that when we fail in our Christian life, we think that it is us that's going to produce that faith and that victory. My friend, we will not. But we share in what Jesus has already purchased. It's important for us to understand that. And when Jesus used the example of the branches and the vine, you are the branches. He says, Jesus said, I am the vine, and you can do nothing without me. Nothing without me. Why? Because he is the source of all things. He is the provider of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. And he is the answer to all things. Amen? And praise the Lord for that. So, some of the thoughts of being an overcomer, many will strive for the illusion of having things under control, right? Having victory over the difficulties of this life. But in reality, the overcomer defines one who has come under the control of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? So when we get all of those things in line and we understand what God is doing and we understand where all that comes from, then we can respond to the Word of God properly. So the message today is not to make us feel like an overcomer, but to reveal the fact that as a child of God, at the time of salvation, God has imputed upon our account, the righteousness of Christ. So therefore, as John would, or Paul would use the example, that when we share in his death, we also will share in the resurrection of Christ. And so therein lies the victory. We're going to get that a little bit more here in just a minute. One other thought that I wanted to review from last week. As believers, we need to be reminded that we are not living in a playground, but we are living on a spiritual battlefield. Amen? Too often we think that we're just here to have fun, when in reality we've got a job to do. Amen? We're battling the temptations. The world that he's describing here, those that have overcome the world, what is the world? Sometimes we think that, well, we got to reshape politics, we got to reshape culture, we got to reshape media, we got to reshape this and that. You know, I am inspired by those who always say that I want my life to make a difference. Praise the Lord. But then we see them go out and try to make a difference in things that are just simply symptomatic of the original problem, right? You ever gone to a doctor and you say, man, this is really hurting, this is really sore, what should I do? Now, if you go to a parent, sometimes like, oh, I actually had a grandparent said, well, why does it hurt? Well, when I do this, it hurts. Well, then don't do that. Problem solved. No! Symptom solved. Problem's still there. Sometimes we go to a doctor and they'll do the same thing. They want to treat the symptom. And it's like, well, doc, we keep treating this, but what is the original problem? I want a doctor that gets down to the problem and take care of the problem, amen? Then everything else clears up. When we go to the Lord Jesus, he doesn't just give us answers to symptoms. He gives us the answer to the problem. And so therefore, as a child of God, if we want to make a difference with our lives, we have to go directly to the problem. And the problem is the spiritual battle that we are in. There is evil that wants to overcome. He wants to destroy anything that can bring honor and glory to God. Satan wants to destroy. And so therefore, we must run, resist the devil, and flee from him. As Paul told Timothy, a man in the ministry, flee these youthful lusts, run from these things. And who do we run to? We run into the arms of the Savior. Amen? Why? Because we're so strong, we're so valiant. No, we're running from that and running to the Lord to share in the power that He brings to our lives. Are you with me, church? What a tragedy it is. Those that are called to battle the evil forces that are around them, and many find it just easier to get along, to go along, and sometimes just simply refuse to resist or stand for the truths of God's word. And they give up the battle before it ever starts. May we never be guilty of that, church. Oh, I got a little more quiet there. Yeah. We are overcomers because of a new birth. And we covered that last week. And our second point is we are overcomers through faith. Verse 4, where he touches on the last part of that scripture, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, okay? All right, so we understand that through salvation, we're able to say no to sin. Jesus gives us victory over sin. We don't overcome sin because we've just become immune to it. We overcome sin because God has given us a new nature, amen? He's given us a new desire, a new heart. So then, after we understand that after salvation, then what is next? It's through faith. It says the second part of that verse 4, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, our trusting in the Lord Jesus. So we continue to grow in that faith. While we place our trust in the Lord Jesus, we have a choice each and every day that we can either trust our ideas, our thoughts. So often do I find myself in that we trust in such different things. Maybe it's our own knowledge. Maybe it's our own teaching. Maybe it's the worldly knowledge. And it's something that just really, I'm going to pick on this and hopefully I won't get kicked off of YouTube, but the medical field, when I hear politicians get up on a public stage in front of media and they say, trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. You know some of the crazy things that science was doing about 100 years ago that we look at and we just absolutely laugh out loud? That was science. You know why I don't trust science? Because it changes. It fluctuates. And unfortunately, their foundation is on unbiblical things in some areas. Does that mean that all science is not good? No, that's not what I'm saying, because there is good science. There's good biblical science that God's word proves over and over. But you know what? I just simply come to find that I need to dig deeper in my spiritual life and my prayer life and say, God, what do you want me to do? That's what I trust. How about you? Now, I don't want you to think that I'm a type of person. I go to the doctor and it's like, doctor, you don't know what he's doing. That's not where I'm going, folks. That's not where I'm going. But our faith begins to rely upon God above all other things, including my own ideas. Are you with me? Sometimes we can look at things that I don't like and say, yeah, I'm not going to trust that. I'm going to trust God. That's easy. But then there's times that I get opinionated. Now, I know that's hard for you to imagine. And don't you dare ask Dawn about it, because she'll give you way much more information I want her to. Rat me out. She'll do it in a heartbeat. But sometimes we get ideas and opinions in our own mind and say, I'm right, and I know I'm right, and I like it. And the Lord says, no, you're not. Yeah, but I like my way. Where is it that we're going to place our trust? Who is it that we're going to place our trust? Maybe the outside, maybe our peers, maybe just simply the pressure of media, all the society that is around, the culture that is around us is pressuring us to call us a fool for trusting in God. When in reality, God simply says the definition of a fool is those that have said that there is no God, right? So who are we going to trust? Who are we going to obey? Now, sometimes we would think that, well, that's pretty obvious, but yet as a child of God, is it obvious in our lives of those who look at us from the outside? Is it obvious to them who it is that we trust? Or is it that we say that, well, I'm a Christian, I go down here at Lindsay Lane Church, and they go, really? I didn't even know you go to church. Are you with me? What are we communicating with our faith? You know, in 1 John chapter 5:5, he says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Even there in the early church, even there in the early stages of preaching God's word, and the gospel is exploding. Souls are being saved. We even find some that they deny that there is a Lord Jesus. They deny his physical existence upon the earth. They deny that he actually came in the flesh. Anytime that we come across difficulties in life and we deny the Lord Jesus, my friend, we are in trouble. Peter realized that. Peter, out of fear, denied the Lord Jesus three times. And many times we think that, I would like to think that I wouldn't do that. But look how close Peter was to the Lord. Look how dear the Lord was to him. And yet, was he down and out? He was down and out for a while, wasn't he? But then Jesus came back to him and said, Peter, do you love me? Peter knew exactly what the Lord was saying. My actions didn't say it just a few days ago, but yeah, I love you. And he asked him three times, and it just cut to the heart of Peter. But you know what? Peter knew that there was nowhere else to go, amen? There was no one else to forgive. There was no one else to serve. There's no one else to give life. Where are you at in your faith today? Maybe you've trusted the Lord as your Savior and you're struggling. There was a phrase that is in our men's Bible study this morning that I shared with the guys that I was so excited about. Faith is not just something that we have, but rather something that we exercise. Faith in Christ Jesus is to be an act of faith, not just something that we talk about it, but it's what we do as a result of trusting in the Lord Jesus on a daily basis. It comes out. It's unstoppable. It's out there in front of everything we do and say. It becomes the motivator of all that we are. And so when we begin to overcome those old natures and old sinful things and then the things that are around us, when you put the salt out there, it's going to cleanse and clean and purify things. But you know what? When it hits an open wound, it's going to burn. People are going to take notice. They're going to mock when you're not doing and following what they do or say. They're going to point you out, whatever it may be. But glory be to God that there's a difference, amen? The victory continues within us as the Spirit of God continues to work in and through us. That faith is ongoing. But here's something I want us to realize is that do you ever have arguments with yourself? I try to keep it quiet so people don't know that I'm talking to myself and arguing. It's even worse when you're arguing with yourself because it's just ugly, you know? And going back and forth. We know what the Lord's wanting. We know what the Lord is guiding us to do. And just out of fear, just stubbornness, we say, no, Lord, I just don't want to do that. I don't remember his name, but way back in the 80s, this Christian singer, he came out with a song, Lord, Please Don't Send Me to Africa. And it was one of the funniest songs I've ever heard in my life. But he knows the Lord. They had a missionary come, and Lord's convicting him to go to Africa. And he, Lord, I just don't want to go there. I'll do anything. I'll do anything. I'll wash the communion cups. I'll even go on the youth trips, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And everything just keeps going wrong, and it's not satisfying. And finally, by the end of the song, he just screams out, okay, I'll go. Sometimes even in our own personal lives, we're fighting, and the Lord says, no, you know what I want you to do. You know what I'm going to empower you to. You know that there's victory on the other side of this step of obedience. Just go. John chapter 16, verse 33. These sayings I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. This is the weirdest response after that phrase. But be of good cheer. Are we reading the same scripture verse? Are you with me? Where's the Lord going with this? I have overcome the world. It's done. Too often we look at being an overcomer. We look at being faithful to the Lord. We look at being strong based upon a feeling that I have right now. Let it go. Let it go. Much of the Christian life is not spent on a mountaintop. It's in the very bottom of a valley. You're in the dirt. You're on your hands and knees. And things are just not working the way that you had planned. And you didn't see this coming. But yet the Lord just continues to work in and through the most difficult of situations, the most difficult of times. Why? Because he's already overcome the world. And he has blazed a path for you and me to follow. And he's already been there. He's already done that. Every hill, every dip, every trip, every curve, and everything that we cannot see coming, he's already been there. He's already predetermined that you are going to follow him. And he has victory waiting for you in obedience to him. And even in the times that we fail, even in times that we just don't want to go and we're just struggling, Lord, I just don't want to do that. He's waiting. He's waiting. How are you living as a result of Christ's victory over the world? Are you living as if Jesus has already won the battle in your life? Or are you cowering in the corner thinking, I just can't do this? Believer, do you know that Christ, in Christ, that you have no reason to doubt the direction and instruction of God and his word? You know, so often we talk about the infallible, inerrant word of God, but yet when it comes to reading and obeying, it's like, I'm not so sure about that. Does it fit my culture today? We should be asking, is my culture fitting what God's word says? Amen. Let's leave the foundations where the foundations are. And here's a reality that we're living in a day and age that they're trying to redefine things. They're trying to move things and trying to move landmarks, if you will, of truth. The reality is they can try to move them, but they'll never move them. Amen? Some things cannot be moved. In fact, the very definition of God is that he is infinite. He is unmovable. He is unchangeable. You're not going to change it. But the truths of his God, of his word will remain. Do you know that others have followed in faith? There's others that have been faithful. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Let me read, just as you're looking at the verse, let me give you a couple thoughts right for it. These are heroes that we think, oh my, these are some of the greatest people. Are you the same as I am? When I was a kid, I'd read back and I'd read these Bible stories as a kid. And I always heard about Moses, you know, oh, parting that Red Sea. Oh, if I had a stick. I can remember as a kid going outside, going to my grandpa's pond. I never parted that pond, you know. Now laugh at me, but I thought, he could do it. I learned about God. I could do it. No, I didn't do it. Yeah, I think the motivation was wrong. Timing was way off. But, you know, as a kid, I just thought of those things. Oh, I could be. And Samson. Samson was one of my favorite. I was like, you know, I was always a little kid, real thin. And I had friends that were really big and strong. And I'm like, you know, if I could be your size, I would just go around and pick up big things and tear things up because I could, you know? It just, oh, to be big and strong, you know? We always think about those things. So as I was looking at these heroes of the faith in the Bible, I was thinking, man, if I could just be just like that. And I remember reading about Moses one day and found out that he killed a guy. What? Are you sure this is the same Moses that I've been dreaming about? And then I go down and I find that he's there with God and spending time with God and penning the very law of God. I mean, wow, comes down glowing and in the presence of God, and he's mad at the people and just throws the tablets down and breaks them and just yells at the people and is like, what? This is my Moses? What? The one I learned about? So we think they're all their heroes of faith because they did something great. They trusted in someone that is great. Are you with me? The heroes of faith simply took God at his word and acted upon it. Folks, let me tell you what, we spend a lot of time right here. We spend a lot of time, maybe many of you go and you listen to preachers online and you listen to different ones on TV, whatever it may be. We listen, we learn, and we learn, and we learn. And now Jesus says, now go. Well, wait a minute, I don't quite know enough. Well, wait a minute, I don't have quite a good outline. Maybe, well, Lord, I'm not sure what to say. You know, the woman at the well had no idea what to say, but you know what she said? Can this not be the Christ they've all been waiting for? And all she said, could this be the Christ? He told me all that I've ever done. Could this be? And the entire city came out to meet Jesus. That's all she said. No points of evangelism explosion. As effective as it is, may I tell you, I am not degrading those in any way. You should study. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope which lieth within you. But don't use that as an excuse not to go and obey what you are to be doing today. Amen? Aren't you glad that we have the victory? If Satan can convince you that you're ill-equipped, you're not ready, and God just can't do it. Oh, you're so unfaithful. God can't do that. You know what? We've always been unfaithful. That's why we needed a Savior. We've always been sinful. That's why Jesus came and died. But you know what? When he died, he put it all to rest. Amen. He overcame it. He destroyed it. Exciting and convicting all at the same time, isn't it? Hebrews 11:33-40. Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms. That's exciting, isn't it? Worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in the battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. I don't know about you, but I'm all excited about that. How about you? Oh, the strength on the battlefield, turning nations, stopping the mouths of lions. Woo! Man, we're getting excited about the faith now, aren't we? But we think it stops there. Now it comes home. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mocking, scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. This isn't sounding really exciting about the overcomer, is it for you? But yet they are overcoming, amen? They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through what? Faith. Did not receive the promise. I want you to consider this for a moment, folks. Those of the Old Testament were faithful, looking forward to the promise of the Messiah. They didn't have the promise to live by. They had the promise to look forward to. And that faith was just as powerful in them as it is to us as we look back to the cross. But oh, what a glory that we have to rejoice in, because all that Jesus has already done. If there should ever be a book of the heroes of faith, it should be us today. Are you with me? It should be us that are living out that victory even greater. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Jesus will bring it all together. He is the very center of all things. Faith that we live out is given to us by God. Remember Romans 6, as he reminds us that we should reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said the very same way in Romans 6, he said that we go into baptism signifying the death that we have died to ourselves in sin. We have died, but then God raises us up once again to a newness of life to live and to walk in Christ. So therefore, if we are to share in his death, we also will share in his resurrection. Now, often we keep thinking that, well, that's in the future. That's when he comes back. That's when I'm going to go and be glorified with him forever and ever. But guess what, my friend? We have that victory today in the battles that we fight and we struggle with. As powerful as the resistance may feel, the power of God overrides all of that. So, Pastor, how do I make that happen in my life? First of all, you can't make it happen. But what you can do is change your heart and your thinking and say, God, I'm done. I'm done. It's up to you. We use the word surrender. We turn it over to him. And sometimes as a child of God, we think, well, I did that at salvation. Yes. And now we must live in sanctification. God has set us aside unto himself. In salvation, we have set ourselves apart from sin. We set a distinction. Now in sanctification, it's a lifelong process of setting ourselves apart unto God and living in that faith that he is true in all things. It comes out in our action, in our decisions, and in our desires. Where are you today? I want you to bow your heads for just a few moments, and I want you to ask the Lord those questions. Where am I in my faith? Am I talking faith or am I living faith? Am I trying to do it on my own, or have I truly surrendered to you each and every day and made this your battle and not my own? We need to entreat the Lord and say, Lord, is there there's areas of my life that there's victory available, but I haven't even called upon you to claim victory over these areas of my life. Where are you today? Maybe you're questioning about salvation today and still just torn about, what does it all mean? Can I encourage you that after the service is done here today, I will stay up here in the front. Brother Mike McKenzie, our music minister and pastor, is up here in the front. We would love to just sit with you and hear any of the questions that you may have and share with you the promises of God's Word. I'm going to lead us in prayer at this point as you continue to entreat the Lord. I'm going to pray over you, and this is going to be our dismissal prayer. I thank you for each and every one that come today. What a special place you have in my heart and a joy that you've brought to me personally. And I hope that you'll come and be with us again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we thank you that we are overcomers based upon not what I'm feeling today, but based upon the purchase, the victory, the salvation, and the power of God. Amen. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for that assurance, the strength, and the blessing of being your child. But Lord, I know that even in my own life, not all areas am I allowing you to claim victory over me and those things that I'm struggling with today. Lord, I pray that you would help our hearts to surrender to you. Maybe we need to come to a place of humility, admitting that we need you. We only by your power can we overcome these things. Maybe it's just simply that we haven't come to you and become your child. Whatever it may be, Lord, open our hearts and open our minds that we may know those next steps. Lord, what is the next step that I may take in coming back home to you? Lord, I know that you can empower us. I know that you can guide us. But sometimes, Lord, the hardest barrier to get through is our own stubborn will. Lord, I pray that you'll deal with us lovingly and graciously as you always do. And Lord, I thank you for being a loving Savior. Oh, Lord, I grow tired of my own stubbornness and my own failures, but yet, Lord, you never give up on us. And we thank you for that persistent love. That we can come to you and never be disappointed. Corrected, yes. Warned, yes. Loved, absolutely. So Lord, each and every one that is here today, may they know the title as your child. That they have been given the power to overcome because you have already overcome the world. And may we be living in such a way that we speak the truth, we stand upon the word, and we exercise that faith in you so that others may see and know that it's not us, but a faithful Savior working in and through us. Lord, may you bless your people as we dismiss from this place. We enter in to the mission field today, that we would be ready to give an answer of the hope which lieth within us, which is Jesus. It's in his name, our eternal Savior, we pray. Amen.